Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Before we begin tonight's program, I'm going to share some sword and sandal for the soul. Recently, I rewatched Hercules, Samson, and Ulysses. I've always seen it as a sequel of sorts to Hercules and Hercules Unchained, and very much in the spirit of Hercules, the Princess of Troy. The epic starts off with Hercules and his wife Iole dwelling in the kingdom of Laertes, father of Ulysses. The island nation of Ithaca is plagued by a sea monster, and much to the chagrin of their lady loves, Hercules and Ulysses boldly volunteer to confront the terror from the deep. The heroes and their crew seek and then confront the sea beast, but are shipwrecked in the process and find themselves washed ashore in the land of the Philistines. They are assured that the Philistines will help the Greeks return home, but only if Hercules helps them catch a pesky outlaw named Samson. The Titans meet, do battle, and of course become friends. And then the fun really starts. Expect lots of muscle flexing, ancient fighting, and the toppling of many pillars, statues, and cyclopean stones. There's an unexpected yet timely last-minute rescue and much treachery on the part of Delilah and the Philistine king. And though they remain nameless and uncelebrated, a handful of pigeons actually helped save the day in this peplum adventure. The lesson I gleaned while enjoying, then contemplating this movie, always trust your impulses and never lose sight of your goals. And with that, we'll begin Bold Spirits Holistic Concepts with Michael Del Russi. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you?
Good evening, Hercules. Good evening to all of the Olympians. It's great to be with you once again.
It's great to have you here, my friend.
The film you're discussing, I found that film fascinating on a number of levels. I didn't think I would enjoy it initially because, well, you have these three heroes, and, well, what can we gain out of it? You know, how much time are you giving Hercules, Samson, and Ulysses? How much time for us to really absorb the nature of their characters? But I really loved it. I especially liked the sound effects when they threw the spears. And, I mean, the sound effects were fascinating.
Yes.
And some of the battle scenes, as you've just so accurately described, I found it to be a heck of a lot of fun. So I really wound up enjoying the film very much. I do have a copy. I haven't watched it in a while, but I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, me too. It's one of my favorites. And I find that I have a lot of these films. I don't watch some of them very often. But this is one of the ones I watch at least a couple of times a year.
Yes, I found it fascinating. The sound effects, the battle scenes, it turned out to be a very interesting film and one that certainly deserves its share of accolades within that genre. So, I enjoyed it very much.
I'm really interested in all the topics you're covering tonight, body sculpting, bicameral training, integrated nutrition, and more. That's awesome.
Well, yes, we're going to get right into it because I feel every moment is somewhat crucial in sharing some of this information, and hopefully will be more than helpful to some of our listeners. I just want to share a recent report, if I can, and this is an area that's one of continued fascination for me. There is a report from George Washington University, and this was covered by CNN, on aspirin and its ability to relieve inflammation in the lungs pertaining to COVID. Low-dose aspirin may help to protect the lungs and reduce the need to put patients on ventilators, researchers reported Wednesday. Besides combating the risk of blood clots, the University of Washington reported that 47% of the patients that were treated with low-dose aspirin responded very aggressively in terms of reducing inflammation in the lungs. I thought that was very significant and something to share with the listeners. How much research is being done, I'm not sure, but immediately I made every effort to apply my bicameral thinking to this possibility. And I said to myself, well, if aspirin is capable of doing this, What about some of our natural anti-inflammatories like ginger, turmeric? I will name three: ginger, turmeric, and fish oil. Can they help to prevent inflammation in the lungs should you contract the virus? So it's something for our family to think about. But I thought that report was certainly worth sharing. And this is covered by, obviously, a major news network and George Washington University. So the listeners may want to look that up. You don't hear about these things everywhere. And that's, for me personally, for this ministry, that's my divine calling, is to share some of these other target healing modalities, if you will, that may be overlooked by the mass media. So I think that's worth looking into further, certainly. So I wanted to share that first. And tonight, our integrative nutrition update, I would like to put a focus on some of the health challenges that we all either have dealt with or will be dealing with in the future. And my first one tonight is the prostate health in men. Benign prostate hypoplasia and metastatic conditions, as we know, are very high, especially in, for whatever reason, we can discuss that, in the Western society. There may be a variety of reasons for that, but it's much higher than the Eastern nations, if you will. So I wanted to cover, first of all, diet that has been found to be healthy for the prostate. And some of those diets are tomatoes, broccoli, green tea, beans, and fish. The University of California at San Francisco Medical Center suggests you may be able to prevent or slow the rate of prostate cancer by maintaining a diet that is low in saturated fat and sugar. And as we've discussed in the past, sugars and simple carbs have been blamed for so many illnesses these days. And one of them is fueling the growth of cancer cells. What you don't hear enough of course, which has been very well known, is that saturated fat cells can also fuel the growth of cancer cells. So the University of California makes a point in mentioning both dietary taboos, if you will, diets that are high in saturated fat and high in glucose. So they suggest a diet that's low in saturated fat and sugar, high in fiber, and high in fruits and vegetables. The foods to avoid, based on countless studies over the decades, are red and processed meat, high-fat dairy, alcohol, and saturated fat. We've known this, and I have mentioned on past programs that especially hormone-driven cancers like prostate cancer, breast cancer, cervical cancer, have all had a direct relation to high-fat diets. A normal PSA range is usually between 0.6 and 0.7, and you can go to 1.2, 1.3, which is also considered in the safety range. A reading of 4.0 or greater is considered abnormal. So everybody should be aware of the PSA. There's been some debate a couple of years ago. There were some government experts, if you will, who said, well, you don't have to pay attention to PSA that much. Most of the physicians I still speak with insist, and I agree with them, that knowing your PSA is vitally important. For those who don't know, it's a simple blood test, and it's still a powerful indicator of whether you're within the safety range or not when it comes to a healthy prostate. Now, some of the protective supplements to consider, and there's plenty of science backing this up, is zinc, lycopene, saw palmetto standardized extract, beta-cystosterol, and pyegium standardized extract. Something interesting I discovered on a personal level about 10 years ago. And I actually heard this on a radio program and then did my own research and found that there's much validity, that saw palmetto standardized extract and pyegium standardized extract in and of themselves can reverse hair loss in certain individuals. Yes. And, when you think about it, it makes sense. Why? Because the same hormone that causes hair loss also causes enlarged prostate, and that's DHT, dihydrotestosterone, which is an offshoot, if you will, of testosterone, DHT, and salt palmetto and pyegym, along beta-testosterol, all reduce DHT levels in the blood. And that can contribute to hair growth. And I've met individuals, in men and women, by the way, because women, if you notice, postmenopausal, many women experience extreme thinning in terms of hair loss. I've put women on salt palmetto standard extract and pyegym, and they did experience a regrowth of hair.
Oh, wow.
So that might be something that you want to know, because women postmenopausal suffer from the exact same chemical process, and that is a buildup of DHT, which contributes to hair loss in both men and women. So I thought that's something to share with the Olympians that might be useful down the road. Getting back to the protecting the prostate, zinc, lycopene, salt palmetto, beta-testosterol, and pyegym. Now, for me personally, by no means am I suggesting you have to take all of those supplements. I take lycopene, I take zinc, and I take salt palmetto standardized. I feel that's sufficient. There has been some new and exciting research, and I think we discussed it in our last program on lycopene, but we'll discuss that next time because there's some late-breaking research on lycopene, all very positive. But for now, those are the supplements that contribute to a healthy prostate in men. So I think it's important that everyone have a hold on what these natural supplements can do in terms of preventing prostate issues down the road. There are drugs that your physician would recommend to reduce enlarged prostates. One is called 5-alpha reductase. That's been around a long time. But here's the problem with some of these drugs. They also lower the PSA artificially. The problem with that is you really don't know what your PSA is. It lowers the measurements artificially, but it may not lower them in actuality. So those drugs in the short term may be effective, but I know if I was suffering from prostate issues today, I would also definitely make sure that I stay on my prostate healthy supplements. So that, of course, in combination with the diet, again, diets high in sugar, high in saturated fat, processed meats, red meat, and some inflammation foods as well. Too much coffee in some people can irritate the prostate. Alcohol in moderation for most of us, if at all. Some of these other foods can also create inflammation in the prostate, so we have to be careful of those as well. But the main culprits here are beef, especially beef. Beef also produces something called arachidonic acid, which is very inflammatory. Light meats are okay. Fish is fine. Chicken is fine. Light poultry. So those are the things, personally, I would recommend to avoid prostate problems down the road.
Since you suggested last time upping tomatoes, I've been using tomato products because the processed or the cooked tomato products contain more lycopene. I've had little success finding lycopene either in the pharmacies or in the health food stores around here. So next time we're further out in Jersey where the big vitamin stores are, I'm going to check to see if they have it there.
Well, they should have them. I mean, GNC should carry it. They may not. But you can readily get it through online. You can get it. Swanson is the main. They have plenty of it. Swanson Vitamins.
Okay.
You can just go online and order it online, and their prices are very good. I still find Swanson to be not only a high-quality supplement company, but their prices are very competitive. So you can get it online, and their shipping process is good. So you might want to consider that.
And I don't know what it is, but I love meat. But the meat, the quality of the meat has not been good for a while. At least that's what I found. And we shopped in different places in case it was just some of the places we normally buy meat. So I've had to cut back tremendously on my meat, which I guess isn't a bad thing. So that happened without my planning it to happen. It just I have not felt good about the meat I've been eating for a while now.
Well, again, you know, we're right now based on some of the diets that the populace has been become addicted to, whether we go back to Atkins or the Zone diet or the South Beach diet, or of course now we have the ever-loving keto diet, the paleo diet, all have a bit of a place, an emphasis, and those diets it changes from diet to diet, but there's an emphasis on the consumption of more meat. They do, of course, some of them like paleo, do encourage consumption of some fruits and vegetables as well. But I continue to feel that while I personally, I don't object to consumption of meat entirely, I don't think it should be the priority in our own personal food pyramid. I think as the years go by, and I feel as though within the immediate, I'm not talking about 10 years from now, we're going to find that this this ongoing a fad, if you will, with the diets that are predominantly emphasizing the consumption of meat, I think we're going to pay the piper. And I think it's coming. I think it's already beginning to happen. There are statistics, I may have mentioned this to you last time, that there's some concern that the rate of colon cancer amongst young people seems to be increasing. Now, your major news networks, of course, aren't mentioning a cause unknown. My feeling is, again, when you start utilizing both logical, analytical mind and creative mind, you can come up with at least a possibility that the higher consumptions of meats and saturated fats, which a large percentage of the population is being told is okay, it's very possible that that may be somewhat responsible for this. We will see. But I still say, for one to be truly healthy, in my opinion, one has to put the emphasis on a diet that's high in fibrous carbohydrates. Fruits and vegetables have stood the test of time the world over, and light meats. I believe a fish is fine. Chicken, I think, is okay. Veal, I think, is okay in terms of keeping inflammation low in the body. But I would definitely avoid it. I think a lot of people, and my friend and colleague, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, agreed with this. We were talking not too long ago that, yes, a lot of people are taking this license for high-fat eating, and they're running pell-mell with it, including our young people. Oh, no, fat's okay now. I think this is a cardinal mistake. I've been afraid of this for some time. Decade, 40 years of research backs up that fear, and they can call this the new science all they want, but I still feel that there's going to be a price to be paid down the line, and Dr. Ronald Hoffman did agree with me. He said, well, I think you're right, and he loves keto. He's a keto man all the way. We disagree on that. We disagree on that respectfully. But he does admit that this message can be misinterpreted. Well, it's okay. You know, I can eat all the hamburgers I want. And which is he tend to, his opinion paralleled mine, that this could be a problem with young people especially. Mm-hmm. So anyway, by no means am I encouraging that everyone go vegan. I'm not saying that. For me, so far, with the blessings of divinity, it's worked for 40 years, but not saying it's right for everyone, but what I do say is to avoid some of these chronic conditions, I think it's probably best to maintain a diet that's basically higher in beans, and I don't, by any chance, I don't mean to leave beans out of the equation. I personally think it's one of the healthiest foods on earth, all kinds of beans, and fibrous vegetables and fruits, and a little less on the meat consumption.
Now, legumes are coming under attack now there's been more penetration into the collective consciousness of, I forget what the doctor's name is, but he's telling people not to eat beans and a bunch of other things, well, including tomatoes, I believe.
Yes, you're right.
Because there's toxins in them, and leptins are deadly, he claims.
Yeah, I know. I know the physician well, yes, and I've seen that. I will say for my part of it, absolutely absurd to discourage people from consuming these life-giving foods, these life-enhancing foods, is a disgrace. The studies I've seen indicates to consume, you would have to consume literally pounds and pounds of leptins for the possibility there would be any adverse reactions. And yet, yes, he's going pell-mell with some of these things, and I aggressively disagree. I can go back. Now, I'm going back. I'm going to tell you about 30 years. That's how long it's been. And I saw this on 60 Minutes. A doctor was diagnosed with cancer. I believe it was colon cancer. I'm not sure. And he changed his diet completely. And the bulk of his diet was beans. Dried beans, he didn't eat canned beans like I do, admittedly. He dried beans, he boiled them, he cooked them, avoided meats completely, fruits and vegetables, avoided processed foods. He went into complete remission for 5 years. And as of that date, he was still cancer-free. Now, there's another side to that. Beans and fruits and vegetables and some whole grains are also high in IP6, and I would encourage everyone, you're not going to hear this everywhere, go on your internet, go on the computer, punch in IP6 against cancer. I think you're going to be quite astonished at what you see. Is there one shoe fits all with cancer? No, never. But IP6, up until this date, and it's been around, well, in this country, at least 25 years, there's hardly anything negative about IP6, I don't care where you're coming from, WebMD, you can explore the most conservative medical website, and you won't find it. You won't find it. They'll say there's strong possibilities. More research needs to be done. The diet that doctor was on, ironically, all the foods he was consuming are all high in IP6. So, again, there's more evidence that, again, when it comes to metastatic diseases, there is no one pathway, but some of these substances really definitely need to be explored because there are real healing possibilities there. IP6 is one of them, and I would encourage everyone, don't take my word for it. Don't take just my word. Go on the internet, look up IP6 against cancer. See what you find. Website after website. Get this knowledge in your consciousness. Hold on to it.
And that's a good thing that you reinforce. And a lot of my guests reinforce it also when we discuss health. That this is a journey we're all taking individually, and it's good that we have the opportunity to discuss it and share ideas collectively. But everyone should do research, and everyone should, basically make the best choice that they can. And if they have health professionals that are trusted, they should consult with them. They should do their research on the internet, and again, make the best decision that they could make.
Well, at the end of the day, this is what we do. This is what we all do. Those of us who consider ourselves researchers into alternative healing, researchers into integrative health, researchers into the paranormal and the divinity, if you will. This is what we open up the pathways, but it's up to each individual then to make the decisions. And as you have pointed out in past programs, our decisions may change.
Right.
What I decide upon today, and that was a superb point that you made. Well, I may change, and we have that right through our own growth. We have that right, and that's where it should be. That's where integrated mind should be taking us. But what we do is we open up the pathways. We present the pathways, and then they walk these pathways to whatever knowledge they may hold on to down the line.
I, for instance, was a coffee drinker for many years. I stopped coffee before, 5 years, 3 years, a year and a half, you know, so I haven't been a continuous coffee drinker, but I stopped drinking coffee again. I haven't had any coffee in at least a month and a half now, or longer, because the teas that I was drinking, I thought had caffeine in them, but it turns out they didn't. So I've been caffeine free for like 6 weeks plus. And that was interesting because I didn't get a lot of the effects that people get, like headaches and things like that. What I got was a shift in consciousness. For a couple of weeks, it felt like I was walking through a fog or through dense water. And then that passed, and I'm finding out that I have more clarity than I did while I was drinking coffee.
Well, again, yes, certain people who have abstained from coffee have experienced some of the symptoms you've described, nervousness, irritability, and right down the line, heart palpitations even, without the coffee. I've tried to quit coffee many times. I've had no choice but to quit it now because I do suffer from GERD. I do have hiatal hernia. So what I do now is, and it seems to work, I fill up a container with a little bit of coffee and the rest with hot chocolate. And that seems to serve me well. So I still need that little dose of caffeine during the course of the day, but I cannot drink coffee straight any longer. I don't know about the health benefits of coffee. We've heard a lot about it lately, that it has antioxidants and polyphenols in it. Even though I'm not a coffee hater, I question that. But I don't know how healthy coffee really is or isn't.
No.
I don't know. I question it. But I found that I can't live without it completely. So I take a little bit every day, maybe a quarter of a cup, and I fill the rest with hot chocolate, and that seems to be most tolerable. So, but I admire you for being able to abstain completely. There's times I have tried it. It didn't work. Although I'm sure that if I applied enough discipline, I could probably do it. I guess I don't want to do it.
Right.
But I admire
the... The research, again, is contradictory, like a lot of the research. So you have people talking about all the wonderful benefits of coffee. And then you have others saying the same thing, except asking you to limit yourself to 3 or 4 cups if you're going to drink it. And then you have all sorts of exercise gurus telling you when to drink that coffee in terms of your exercise and eating. And then you have people who are saying that it's bad for you and that these studies are funded by coffee companies. So you don't know what to believe but it's there and you have to take the time to get to hear both sides. And then again, we make decisions, the best decisions we can make based on our own inner guidance.
Absolutely. And that's why I think the putting the focus on our integrated thinking is so important, because in the end, that will take us to what we feel we believe at that point in time is the right decision. I have some doubts about some of those individuals who claim coffee is so healthy for you. My logical mind tells me, well, I'm not really too sure about that, because the process that they use to heat the beans and what have you, there's still some question. Those beans come under quite a bit of heat, from what I understand. Even the organic ones, there is still a possibility that there's certain carcinogens that develop within that process. So, that's where we are. But at the end of the day, yes, we'll have to make our own creative decision into what we want to do with our health and with our lives. So I do admire anyone who's been able to abstain. I applaud them because I don't know that coffee's all that healthy, but we do what we can do on an individual basis.
Very, very true. And I'm looking forward to your bicameral training. I've been doing new things with my mind lately, so I'll share those as well when we get to that point.
Yes, we're going to do that in a moment. I would like to share part two of our integrative health session, if I will,
sure.
And some recent studies that I think will be a valuable asset to the listeners. And I'd like to share one on oleoropin and olives that fight fat. This comes from Kobe University in Japan. Studies found that oleoropin, a chemical found in raw olives, causes cells to release heat that regurgitate body fat, actually melt body fat, if you will. This can have a thermogenic effect, which makes sense, throughout the metabolism. Brown fat cells are especially subject to this effect. It has also been found that oleoropin has a powerful antioxidant effect, is best known for lowering blood pressure, and acts as an anti-inflammatory in the body. I agree with that. I think oregano and olive leaf extract are also powerful anti-inflammatory nutrients. So that's something worth considering as well. The next study is melatonin boosts growth hormone. Growth hormone is a key to developing a better body. It is produced mainly in the pituitary gland and is critical for growth and tissue repair. It is also an anti-fat hormone that stimulates the release and breakdown of fat from fat cells and helps to regulate blood sugar. Melatonin, it's been found, has been called the sleep hormone. It's an important regulator of growth hormone. Scientists at Baylor University found that melatonin at about 5 milligrams increased growth hormone and was even more effective when combined with exercise. You may recall when we did our three-part series on anti-aging hormones, we did discuss this. And
yes.
I was pleasantly surprised that this latest study validates what we talked about, that melatonin, these are just my recommendations. On an average, on a daily basis, I would take between 2 milligrams, which is usually what's recommended, to 5. But I was interested to note here in this new study that at 5 milligrams, growth hormone was produced more readily in the body. And so far, I think most of the studies on melatonin have been extremely positive in so many ways, including combating certain metastatic diseases. So I was very happy to read that study. Another study that just came in is, and this has been widely publicized somewhat by the media, beetroot juice improves blood vessel health. Foods high in nitrates, such as beetroot juice, stimulate the inner lining of blood vessels to secrete nitric oxide, a chemical that controls blood flow. Beetroot juice has a positive effect on blood pressure and endurance exercise capacity. It also has a benefit for cardiac patients with high cholesterol. It also reduces blood platelet thickness, which I think is very important, by 10%, which decreased the risk of blood clot formation and heart attack. This is coming from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Now, keeping that in mind, that may also be useful when it comes to COVID-19 virus, because we know that in some individuals they have developed blood clots with the virus. So a daily program that includes beetroot juice or arginine, for that matter, as we've discussed in the past, arginine can also produces nitric oxide, may be very beneficial for the heart and for the health in general. So I thought that was interesting.
Yes.
There's also been some science to validate the potential for beets in and of themselves to combat certain metastatic diseases. So individuals may also want to look into those possibilities. Another report, and this is from Harvard University, and this is, this is very exciting to me. Aspirin prevents prostate cancer progression. In men with early stage of prostate cancer, aspirin decreased the risk of dying from the disease by 39%. This
wow.
is from Harvard University. Aspirin is also linked to protection against colorectal cancer and heart attack. Those with digestive issues, such as ulcers, of course, need to be cautious, because we all know that aspirin, in some cases, when taken to excess, could increase bleeding on those who are already suffering from digestive issues. This paper was presented, by the way, to the American Society of Clinical Oncology. Now, here we go again. You may remember that some programs ago, I had discussed the possibilities with aspirin in terms of fighting colon cancer and slowing the progress of lung cancer. My all-time favorite singer, pop singer, a great guy and an outstanding voice, very distinct voice, by the name of B.J. Thomas. You may or may not be familiar with him. He's been around 40 years, Hooked on a Feeling, some great pop hits. He's just been diagnosed. Yes, he's just been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And he quit smoking in 1988. But as we have come to find out, those of us who are former smokers, even if you quit 20 years ago, your risk of lung cancer decreases dramatically, but it never goes away. Some of the so-called experts used to say the risk goes away completely. That's no longer the case.
Right.
If you're a former smoker, you're doing all the right things for 20 years, the risk definitely decreases dramatically, but you'll never be risk-free the way you would be if you were a non-smoker. So we know that now. But I was devastated by this news. He's produced so many great songs and has a very distinctive voice, and I just found out about this over the weekend. And needless to say, I was devastated. But, you know, I wish that some individuals would look into some of these alternative methods.
Yeah.
Because you may have nothing to lose and it may have everything to gain. Here we are, aspirin, over-the-counter aspirin, again, shows great possibility in reducing inflammation. And, you know, we've already explored the nature of antioxidants. They do two things. They reduce oxidation, and in reducing oxidation, they also reduce inflammation. One goes hand in hand with the other. So I'm very excited about the research that's being done with aspirin. I wish these studies would be more widely available. So I wanted to share those studies with you.
Thank you.
And one more study that I do have concerning exercise. Exercise prevents atherosclerosis. In a study that's specifically focused on fitness and its relationship to disease, a study of 850 men aged 40 to 60 during a four-year period showed that people with better aerobic capacities had healthier blood vessels and less evidence of disease. People with the lowest fitness levels had the greatest level of cardiovascular disease during the four-year study. The researchers concluded that those with good cardiovascular fitness had much less incidence of hardening of the arteries, and that comes from the Journal of Internal Medicine. So I think all of this research is certainly worth knowing about. And listeners taking it upon themselves to do the further research on some of the studies that we're presenting, because I think it's exciting and it can be very important to certain people dealing with these issues.
I, too, am an ex-smoker. I smoked on and off, mostly on, for many years since I was a kid. And I haven't smoked in over 20 years also. I know that because my aunt had stopped for 25 years, and then she got it. You know, so, you know, what you're saying is correct, that if you were a smoker, you know, you're not safe from it. The belief was when I was, moving through life, that if you gave it up for 7 years, your lungs would be kind of like all the cells in your lungs would be replaced, so you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but now you're exactly correct in what you're describing. Now we know that, well, that may not be the case.
Right.
You know, that may not be the case. So, yes, I'm a former smoker as well. It's been about 20 years for me, but we have to be somewhat diligent in terms of the health of our lungs, because we know now that we're not out of danger completely. We've reduced the risk. Certainly, we've done that, but we're not out of danger completely. And I was just devastated to hear this news about B.J. Thomas. It's my life. I consider him like a third brother. I so much identified with his music over the last, 40 years, and his vocal ability. He put gospel music on the map during the 80s, along with Amy Grant, Christian music. They were the two top Christian vocalist during that decade, and he had many, many chart-topping songs in that genre as well. And he's a great person from what I understand. I only saw him in person once, but I was devastated to hear this news. But it just reminded me that former smokers were not out of danger completely. But if we provide ourselves with the right nutrients, keep inflammation low, that certainly improves our chances to live a healthy life the rest of our days.
Yes. And
so I wanted to address now some training techniques that I wanted to share with you, if I can.
Sure.
And I call it divine modification in training, diet, and life. And I'd like to call this part one in what I would hope will be a series. We know that left brain is analytical and verbal, and right brain is intuitive and visual. Without really focusing on it, we shift back and forth between hemispheres as we change activities. This is true regardless of what hemisphere may dominate our thinking and influence our personalities. We are citizens of two realms, a dual intelligence that is by nature oftentimes in conflict. Our ability to absorb new wisdom ultimately soars as we seek to utilize both hemispheres in a cooperative environment. And as I've said in prior sessions, I wish this would be taught more in our educational establishments, because Dr. Richard Perry proved the validity of the hemispheric thinking in his experiments. As we gradually move into holistic thinking and place our focus there, the ability to see both our lives and the world with divine vision becomes heightened. In the simplest of moments or more challenging decision-making, bicameral mind can enhance our calling and our destiny. As we think holistically, the ability to apply divine modification in all areas of our lives comes alive. Jesus was the example, in my opinion, of divine modification, and that's what I'm calling this, with an anointed consciousness of the gospel, the good news, I feel, of cosmic consciousness. I believe the more we are aware of the way each hemisphere works and we open our pathways, I think we are then more susceptible to whatever messages we may be getting from the invisible world. I think this is where a mediumship comes in. I think enhanced clairvoyance, more than anything else, comes simply from the internal work that we do to acknowledge the fact that we have two areas of superb wisdom that we can have working in our lives, both analytical mind and creative mind. Modify actually is a verb, and it means to change something so as to improve it or make it less extreme. So I wanted to take that for a minute, if I can, into our bodybuilding and body sculpting endeavors. And I call these holistic sets. There's many terms for them. I know the late Jeff Everson, you may remember him in the bodybuilding world. He was married to Corey Everson, and he unfortunately passed away suddenly. I think it's a few years ago. He used to call them combination sets. I call them holistic sets. But there were three exercises that I'm going to recommend just as examples that I think if we can devote at least one day a week to these movements, won't only contribute to superb conditioning and cardiovascular health, but will also contribute to increased muscular separation and detail as well. And the first one I'd like to share is side delt extensions with the squat. What I'm about to describe, both three movements, if you will, all involve the legs, involve squatting. This is simply, I would recommend using more or less a light, moderate to light weight when you're doing these movements. As you're raising the dumbbells strictly to your side, working the medial delt, you take a deep squat. I would start out with 15 to 20 reps and utilize force reps if you can, if your anatomy and your lack of injuries will allow you, as you decide the repetitions. And I would say 3 to 5 sets of that movement would be not only very exhilarating, but a great conditioning movement. So you're working the delts, you're working the legs, and you're enhancing your cardio aerobic effect as well. So it's a side delt extension with the squat. Again, I recommend a lighter dumbbell because I think you'll be able to feel the movement more, and obviously you'll be getting more repetitions. The second exercise I'd like to recommend, and again, I would do this one day a week. This is just what my integrative thinking is telling me, is a squat curl. I would utilize supination if desired, and we know what that is. I would say, again, 3 to 5 sets of that with 10 to 15 reps. That's a squat curl. So as you're bringing the dumbbells up, you're curling, you're also squatting. And 3 to 5 sets with 10 or 15 reps, I think, would provide a wonderful pump. And again, you're really taxing your entire cardiovascular system. This third movement I would recommend are front deltoid raises with the squat. Again, I call these holistic sets. We can call them combination sets. But whatever you call them, I think they're not only fun to do, but great for conditioning. And as you're raising the dumbbells, you're now hitting the anterior area of the deltoid. As you raise the dumbbells, you squat slowly and try to maintain perfect form. I would say, again, 3 to 5 sets, 10 or 15 reps. I would utilize fairly light weight in all of the movements. And I think there's other combinations you can apply to this. You can do a set of squat curls, as an example, and superset them with upright kettlebell row. So you would do a set of squat curls, and then intensify the workout. You can move directly to a kettlebell row for 10 or 15 reps. Another movement might be a set of side delt squat raises, superset with bent over rows, with maybe perhaps a heavier set of dumbbells. So now you have your light dumbbells as you do your holistic set. Then you can move over and do a set of heavier bent over dumbbell rows for the back. So there's all kinds of combinations that you can create and think of during your holistic workout. And that's what I'll call it, your holistic workout. I would say one day a week. If you wanted to do it more frequently, that would be great. I think as you enhance your conditioning, that would probably happen. But I think focusing upon this type of training at least one day a week as part of other workout systems that you might be adhering to, I think it would produce tremendous results in terms of conditioning, stamina, and muscular detail. So I would just like to offer that up to anyone who would like to try these movements. Again, a heavier weight is not the calling here. It will be lighter dumbbells, 10-15 reps, 3 to 5 sets. Devote one day a week, maybe 2 days, if you're motivated in that area. And I think the conditioning would soar. So I call them holistic sets. I've been trying it. I've been doing it. And I get excited about them because I can feel the difference in my, especially in my cardio expressions in terms of my movement. So I just wanted to share that with you. In each movement, the squat plays a large part. The squat, so you're going to feel, you're going to experience that pump in your legs and, of course, in the biceps or delts, whatever other body part you're targeting. I think it's, especially as those of us who get older, I think these holistic sets are a tremendous way to work out. So I wanted to share that with you. And hopefully some who find the validity in this kind of training might want to pursue it one day a week. I've tried it. I've seen a slight improvement in my toning and muscularity and separation, along with diet, of course. So I highly recommend that we try this. I think it would also be good for cholesterol reduction and, again, enhance metabolism.
Well, I'll certainly try it. Tomorrow is leg and shoulder day. Currently what I'm doing is I'm doing the X3, and then I'm doing D weights, kettlebells, and dumbbells, not very heavy, but I do ascending and descending pyramids, and then I do as much as possible antagonistic muscle. So I'll do or complementary muscle, like I'll do my traps with my calves, I do weights with hand grips or very light weights. I do what you say, but I don't do many sets of it. I just do like one set of six. Oh, no, actually, it's six times 12. So that's what I do with hand grips or with a D weight. That's 5 pounds.
Now, let me ask you, when you're using your kettlebells, how do you incorporate the kettlebells into your training specifically? Now, let's say now tomorrow you said you're doing delts and legs.
Right. Tomorrow I do delts, traps, lats, and whole legs. So I do, you know, squat, I do thighs, I do quads, I do calves, I do ankle, feet, and toes.
Mm-hmm.
And I use different things, like with the feet, for instance, I have these rollers with the nubs on them, and I roll my foot back and forth, and I do sets of that. And also, if I have time, I do some abs. You know, I'll add some ab exercises to it if I feel I need abs. But how I do it is I use the hand grips or the very light 5 pound D-bell weights, and I sets of 12 of everything is a warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now, what movements specifically do you do with the kettlebells? Do you do upright rows for the traps? Do you do squats? What movements do you utilize?
I have light D-bells, and then I have heavier kettlebells, and the heaviest I have is the dumbbells. So I incorporate all three, and then I have hand grips, which I also incorporate in bands, which I incorporate too. But what I do is I do my my traps with my the traps. I do shrugs, and then I do calf raises. So I do the traps, and I do the calf raises immediately after. And I do that ascending on the pyramid and then descending on the pyramid with all the weights. So they get really from light to heavy and then back to light. They get that the whole treatment. Then I do my hamstrings and my lats. I don't have a lat machine, and I just my wall will not hold the chin-up bar. I put one up, and it strained, so I didn't want to knock down the door frame. So what I do is I bend over when I do the hamstrings, and then I do like rows, but with my arms is parallel to my body, so that gets the lats when I do it like a hanging upside down lat thing, and then I do squats, and I don't do the squats with the shoulders. I do them separately. But I do squats for the legs. Then for the thighs, I have a thigh toner, and I have leg weights and ankle weights that I use, you know, to increase the poundages. So I increase the poundages and I increase the repetitions. I do mostly overhead presses for the delts, but then I also do side and front raises. You know, depending on how heavy the weight is, and I tend to injure myself on my shoulders. So
we have to be very careful.
Yeah. So stick with.
Well, it sounds like you have some. You put some good combinations together, the
and
traps and the calves. I think that's a nice combination.
Well, try what you're suggesting. Instead of doing it with my with the hand grips, I'll do it with light dumbbells, and I do six sets of 12. So that kind of fits in with your recommendation. I incorporate a lot of other things into my workouts as well. My meditation, visualizations, affirmations. I have a whole routine. We're not going to get a chance to really go into the mental training today, but next time we could pick up with that.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I try to integrate everything into what I'm doing. And I have
I'd
on my
love to hear about that.
Pictures from the peplums. I have images from paintings of mythical figures. I have a bunch of little statues of mythological figures. So that too, that inspires me. And working on these podcasts, that's part of my ministry, and also on Facebook. You know, so I try to integrate what I'm doing with my highest conception of the divine as well. And I found that that's very integrating and very empowering, and it helps you focus a great deal on, you know, why exactly are you putting all this effort and energy into what you're doing.
Absolutely. It's that creative imagery that is taking us to where we are at this point. So it's so important.
Well, thank you for that. I like changing up my routine because, again, like everybody else who lives, I get bored even with a good routine after a while. So I've been changing it up. I've been fine-tuning it. I've been seeing what works, what doesn't work, you know, what excites me, what doesn't excite me. And it's in a constant state of flux. And you've just added a new variation, so that should keep me excited for a while, you know, and trying out the new thing.
Even if you throw in one set, one or two sets at the end of your workout, I think you'll find it exhilarating. I know I have, and I like them. I enjoy them. I just feel like it's improving my overall conditioning. So, and I thank you for sharing your some of your experimentation. That's what it's all about.
That is what it's all about. Next time we'll pick up with the mental and the spiritual concepts. And you introduced a lot of really helpful information today, so I'm going to be experimenting with that and looking into that more as well. And until I find lycopene either online or somewhere in one of the health food stores we will visit later next week, I did up my intake of tomato. And, you know, I feel better now that I'm eating the tomato. So it did have
very, very important. You made the right move. The prostate gland thrives on the carotenoids. So I think you're definitely moving in the right direction.
We're at the end of our show, and I'd like to give you a chance to share your contact information and the wide range of books, posters, and services that you offer.
Well, they can write to me at Michael Del Rossi, Post Office Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey. The zip is 07006. I have a poetry collection, a collection of poetry and art, which deals with a wide range of subject matter, most of which is the ethereal, the paranormal, if you will, the mystical. I'm very proud of it. I think it'd be inspiring to most. It's only $10 a copy, and they can make a check or money order out to Michael Del Rossi, Post Office Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey. The name of the collection is One Passion Beyond, and it just deals with that very subject matter, our passions that move beyond the third dimension into the many dimensions that we know do exist beyond our thinking, our rational mind, into the creative mystical mind. And so I'm very proud of that collection. And they can also write to me with any health issue they may have. And this counseling will be absolutely free for as long as I can be of some help in opening the pathways to alternative therapies and modalities. And I will be glad to do that.
Thank you, my friend. You're awesome, and it's great having you on the show. I'm glad that this show gives us time to catch up with each other and converse, because both of us have very busy lives otherwise. And until next time, joyous journeys, my friend.
Thank you, and it's great to be with you and the Olympians once again.
Thanks to everybody who tuned in tonight, whether you listened to us live as we were speaking or whether you'll be joining us later on demand. We will close with one of my favorite songs, and it's by Virginia Ackley, If You Can Dream.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow but only here.